Right now on VFN TV, a Supreme Court nominee, Brett Kavanaugh, nominated by President Donald Trump, and many people prayed for an appointment like this. Of all the things that God did when he wanted to establish his people, he set judges in the land. Our judges make a difference. Well, we're going to hear from the president, we're going to hear from Judge Kavanaugh himself, and also we're going to hear from Jay Sekulo right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm Greg Lancaster, and of course, joining me is John Paul Ramos.
Hello.
Hey, man.
This is some great stuff that we're sharing today.
We've been praying for years.
For a long time.
For years.
Did you feel good when you heard that announcement?
Did
something just rise up on
the side? Yes. And if you don't know it, the announcement we're talking about is the announcement for nomination of the next nominee for the Supreme Court Justice,
yes.
Brett Kavanaugh, that President Trump nominated. And I remember a prophetic word coming from some of our brothers in South Korea, and they said very specifically that America will not survive no matter what we change if we don't change our judges.
Wow.
And we're seeing more and more judges being changed rapidly in Appeals Court and Supreme Court. And it's interesting, too, when you're seeing, why are people freaking out so much about the Supreme Court? Because they left the original tent of America. The Supreme Court's powers should not be feared, the founders said, because they're only going to actually interpret based on the Constitution. But the powers to make law comes from the legislature branch, Congress. And so they've been making laws from the judiciary branch. So all these people who've been doing things backwards in the wrong way, that's why they're panicking. But this is all they have to do. They just got to say, let's go back and read the Constitution, and let's get our senators and congresspeople that are going to vote for the laws we want, create the laws. Then they can be interpreted if they're constitutional, and they'll be established, and then you can enforce the law. That's the way actually America's, we're going to talk about that as well.
It's the way it's supposed to work.
But as a matter of fact, here is President Donald Trump nominating a few hours ago, Brett Kavanaugh as the next nominee for the Supreme Court. Take a look.
Tonight, it is my honor and privilege to announce that I will nominate Judge Brett Kavanaugh to the United States Supreme Court. Judge Kavanaugh has impeccable credentials, unsurpassed qualifications, and a proven commitment to equal justice under the law. The Supreme Court is entrusted with the safeguard of the crown jewel of our republic, the Constitution of the United States. The rule of law is our nation's proud heritage. It is the cornerstone of our freedom. It is what guarantees equal justice. And the Senate now has the chance to protect this glorious heritage by sending Judge Brett Kavanaugh to the United States Supreme Court.
This is so powerful, so exciting. And if you didn't see his whole speech, we're going to have it available for you on The Torch. Go to vfnkb.com to The Torch and see his full speech, because this man, his life and the life that he's led, and he's a single child, and he talks about his mother, he talks about his father, talks about how he served the community and served at his church, and he's still doing it today, coaching his girls' basketball team.
Life of service, him and his wife, who he met at the White House.
Working under President George W. Bush.
They met the day before September 11th.
Right, yeah.
And
she was the one that encouraged people in the White House, including him, during that time.
Yeah.
And so the whole speech is just very powerful. It's very interesting of the caliber of the person that our president's looking for. It's one thing that he did say in the speech, that they've never seen the president look harder, research more about their choices and who they would pick. And that says a lot about the choices that are being made. And I think one thing he spoke about is about how much how he feels about the Constitution, how he reveres the Constitution. And that's so important, because the purpose of the Supreme Court is to only define whether this law is constitutional or not. As it. And if they say it's not, then it has to go back, and Congress is supposed to come up with another law or do away with the particular law. That's it.
It's reported that thousands of cases try to go to the Supreme Court every single year, and these justices only rule up about 80 of them.
Right.
So this is a very important thing that they're doing here, and you're saying exactly right. It's about the Constitution. That's it.
And so you're looking at nine justices, and what you're seeing, people that have been manipulating our country, they've been doing it through these nine seats. That's not the original text. That's not what the Constitution says. Washington, D.C. exists because the Constitution exists. If you read the Constitution, Article 1, Article 2, it talks about all those branches of government and what they look like. And one of the particular articles talks about the Supreme Court. And so what they've been trying to do, they're telling senators, you know, just give up your seat. It's worth, you know, controlling the courts. And it's like, it's never supposed to be that way. And think about it. When things go back to their original intent, it means you got to talk to the people and you got to find out what the people want. This is a government by the people and for the people. And you're the one supposed to determine what's supposed to be happening.
That's
and
right.
You let your representative know. And they go there and they vote according to what you say in your state, what you say in your particular community. And if that doesn't happen, then you just vote them out and put the next person in. That they're your representative government, right?
It reminds me of what discussion we had earlier about, which I thought was actually amazing, that what's probably going to happen, and you probably can say better than I can, is once these you know, the appointment of this justice gets on the bench, we're probably going to see the power shifting from the Supreme Court to the Congress.
Yeah, the people that have been using the Supreme Court to manipulate America and create laws, they're not supposed to make law, period. They're supposed to. That's why they're trying to change the Constitution.
Yeah.
It's all about, you know, they're supposed to determine whether it's constitutional or not. That's why they're worried, because this is what they're really worried about. Things that have been passed as law will be ruled unconstitutional, which means it goes away immediately. But all they have to do is go to Congress and say, okay, let's make a law. Let's make a law for that. But this is so, that's why when you hear Brett Kavanaugh, Judge Kavanaugh, talk about that he reveres the Constitution, how he feels about the Constitution, that's how you know that this is somebody that actually has the original intent for this nation, and he's going to measure everything based off of what the founding fathers, the original intent of this nation, the Constitution. Let's go look.
My judicial philosophy is straightforward. A judge must be independent and must interpret the law, not make the law. A judge must interpret statutes as written, and a judge must interpret the Constitution as written, informed by history and tradition and precedent. I will tell each senator that I revere the Constitution. I believe that an independent judiciary is the crown jewel of our constitutional republic. If confirmed by the Senate, I will keep an open mind in every case, and I will always strive to preserve the Constitution of the United States and the American rule of law. Thank you, Mr. President.
That's so important. So imagine, I always talk about this, but it's just real simple. If you have a fish aquarium, and in the fish aquarium, you have water and you have your fish, and then if your fish are swimming in the aquarium, you can look and you can observe them, the fish are safe, the aquarium, it stays together in its environment. But if you take a hammer and you break the side of the aquarium, the glass, then the fish spill out all over the place. Now imagine, instead of the aquarium being made out of glass, the aquarium being made out of glass, it is made from the Constitution, and that's what's holding the fish in. That's what holds America in, is the Constitution. If somebody does away with the Constitution, which talks about our borders, talks about who we are as a people, we just spill all over the face of the earth and everybody else spills into our country. And so it's important that somebody cares about the aquarium.
Yes.
Somebody cares about the container, you know, the original to this nation. Can you tell us a little bit about him before we go?
A little bit about Judge Kavanaugh. This is from Wikipedia. He was born February the 12th, 1965. He's an American judge and former White House staff secretary. He currently serves as United States Circuit Judge of the United States Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit. He was a White House staff secretary during presidency of George W. Bush, and Kavanaugh has been nominated to become an associate justice for the United Supreme Court. He was an attorney working for Kenneth Starr, and Kavanaugh played a lead role in drafting the Starr Report, which urged the impeachment of President Clinton. Just goes on to say that he's worked for President George Bush in the campaign recount. Kavanaugh joined Bush's staff where he led the administration's effort to identify and confirm judicial nominees. So this is just a long, long history.
And of course, he got appointed to the appeals court in D.C.
Yes.
Well, you had over 300
decisions.
300
decisions.
Decisions were so good that Supreme Court, when they saw him, they adopted his decisions as law. And he clerked for Kennedy.
Yes,
he is. Who's actually being nominated to replace right there. Listen, we've got to go to break. Make sure you comment below. We'd love to hear your thoughts on what's happening. This is huge. Maybe you prayed too. We prayed for years. Mm-hmm. You know, write to us at friends@vfnkb.com. We want to hear your thoughts on that. We get back from the break, we're going to hear Jay Sekulow's thought. Understand that Jay Sekulow is a believer And he's so gifted in this area of understanding the law and how significant this is. And he actually has been a personal friend of Judge Kavanaugh for years. So join us after the break.
We'll be right back.
So now you got racists blaming each other. You got police blaming the people blaming the police. You got parents blaming children, children blaming parents. When are we going to seek his face? When are we going to turn?
William Wilberforce, born in wealth and influence, came to believe slavery was a national crime for which all Englishmen were responsible. He wrote,
"In the scripture, no national crime is condemned so frequently and few so strongly as oppression and cruelty," citing Ezekiel, Zephaniah, and Amos, ultimately igniting an unprecedented movement to abolish slavery in the British Empire.
John Newton's hymn, Amazing Grace, associated with the abolitionist movement and William Wilberforce, was written by a former slave trader who became an Anglican minister.
Newton wrote the now famous hymn while working on a sermon on 1 Chronicles 17. On July 26, 1833, the Slavery Abolition Act was passed, just 3 days before the death of William Wilberforce.
Engage with the Bible and its influence over the centuries.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We are talking about the new nominee for the Supreme Court, which would be the second nominee since President Trump's been president.
Neil Gorsuch was the first.
Neil Gorsuch, and he came through really well on that. And the reports are people who have common sense are saying that he's going to be approved. And Mark Taylor, the one that prophesied the Trump prophecies, I believe it was, according to Pat Hamilton, he said that that there will be several Supreme Court places changed out.
Wow.
So some of the reports of this particular lady judge, female judge, what's
Amy,
her name?
Amy.
Yeah, she was, I think, up for consideration. And
she one of the four.
Yeah, I love her just from what I'm learning about her. You know, that it's like, wow, that's a powerful.
Seven children, taught at Notre Dame, comes from a strong biblical background.
Not shy.
No.
Willing to speak up for what's right. And it's like, What a powerful woman.
Yeah. We'd love to see her on the bench, too.
Yeah, exactly. So so if another judge decides to step off the bench, you know, maybe she'll be next.
And we recommend that. I mean, listen, if you served your country, you've done your job, there's a retirement package. If you feel led of the Lord to get off the Supreme Court, by all means.
Please,
help us out.
There's wonderful places to go in the world. Just you can enjoy it.
Listen, if you look up their benefits, you get your last... Whatever you earned that year, you get for retirement.
We'll double it.
Go.
Because we have particular Supreme Court justices on right now. We got to go to this clip. Is understand that their job is to actually abide by the Constitution. Well, one of the Supreme Court justices that's there, she told another country, do not use the American Constitution because it's outdated. And her job is supposed to be the one. Which one am I talking about?
Ruth Ginsburg.
Ruth Ginsburg. So anyway, so what is Jay Sekulow have to say, and his ministry is ACLJ.
Correct.
And what is his view? Because he's known,
American Center for Law and Justice.
Yeah, he's known Judge Kavanaugh for quite some time.
Yeah.
And listen to his viewpoint. It will really encourage you. Let's take a look.
Well, look, Brett Kavanaugh is a brilliant lawyer. Judge Kavanaugh has been and continues to be a brilliant judge. And he's going to be, Justice Kavanaugh, a brilliant justice of the Supreme Court. I have had the privilege of litigating cases before the Supreme Court for 3 decades, including from the time that Anthony Kennedy was on the bench until his retirement. And I've known Brett Kavanaugh both in a private practice on cases and as a judge. And the president has just nominated not only a well-qualified and brilliant jurist, but someone, as you just said, Sean, that understands the role of the judge. And that's critical. If you understand the Constitution, you understand the three branches of government, but you also understand the role of the judge. Brett Kavanaugh has lived that out in his life, both in his practice and as a judge, and he will be an excellent addition to the Supreme Court. And, Sean, you heard it tonight in his brief statements that Brett made. The fact of the matter is they're going to come after him because that's what they do. It's not going to lay a glove on him. This is a guy that has been ready for this moment for a long time. He's not only well-trained, not only brilliant, but he's also someone that understands, as I said, his role as a textualist, as what the Constitution requires of a judge. He's going to call them as he sees them. He's not going to come in with preconceived notions, but he also has had 300 opinions. He's heard a lot of cases and made a lot of decisions. So I'm very optimistic and very pleased with
this
selection.
Very optimistic and very pleased about the selection, he says. Think about this. It's going to be a shocker to you. There's three branches of government, and they all have equal power under the Constitution, equal authority, but they have different purposes. The one that you know about quite often is your presidency, where they have the executive branch. So that one president, whether it's a man or woman, they have equal power to the Supreme Court, equal power to the entire Congress. You know, then you have the Congress, you know, you have your House of Representatives and your Senate, and they have together, all of them together, which represent all of us out here, have equal power to the president. And then you have the judiciary branch, and it has equal power to the executive branch and the legislative branch, but the job of the Supreme Court is just to find out if what the legislature branch has asked to do or what the executive branch has asked to do, a new law or something, is it actually constitutional? As a matter of fact, what is the Supreme Court? Let's take a look.
There are a lot of famous courtrooms. There's the People's Court, Judge Judy's Court, even that military court in A Few Good Men.
You can't handle the truth!
But what about the Supreme Court? What exactly is it, and what do those justices do? If you remember back to high school civics class, the U.S. government has three branches. The legislative branch writes the laws, the executive branch enforces the laws, and the judicial branch interprets the laws to decide if they are constitutional. Just like there are cities, counties, and states, the judicial branch includes local, state, and regional courts. The Supreme Court is the highest court in the judicial branch, which makes it the most important court in the entire country. Sometimes lower courts will disagree on how a case should be decided. A court in one region may say that a law is constitutional, but a court in another region may believe the same law should be limited or overturned. The Supreme Court sorts out the different decisions and has final say on whether laws are constitutional. The court has nine justices, or judges, who are appointed by the president and approved by the Senate. The justices serve for life. A decision happens when five justices, a majority, agree on an outcome. Since the Supreme Court is flooded with over 10,000 requests a year to review cases that have been decided by lower courts, they can only choose the most important cases to hear. Around 80 cases are presented to the court each term, and each term wraps up in early summer. Typically, the most controversial and most widely publicized cases are saved for last. So be sure to stay tuned during the summer as the Supreme Court comes down with more landmark decisions that may impact your life.
That's so powerful when you see that and understand how important that is. And while you're seeing people panic, it's because they've been using that branch the wrong way.
That's right.
And it's like if you want to have a law that says this or to do this, you actually go and make the law in Congress.
You have a congresswoman, you know, there in Washington, D.C., who you voted for, and you can tell them what you want.
And they try to confuse the issue because they just really think about themselves a lot in Washington, D.C. But why it starts in the House of Representatives is because they represent you more than anyone else. I think it's one of those for every 200, 300,
like 700,000.
700,000 people in your community. So, but if you go to the Senate, there's only two for your state.
Entire state.
Whether you're New York or whether you're North Dakota.
California.
Or California, you only get two. And so we don't want Senate, you know, creating law. We want the people in the House to create the law because they represent more of you, more of us.
The voice of the people.
And so, but if you leave that all together and go to these nine justices, you don't do this, but that's what they've been doing, and creating law there, it's like, you know, it's not meant to be that way. And the founding fathers knew they didn't want it that way because they came from a tyrannical, you know, government. You know, you think about King John and the other ones that were just, you know, they take off with your head, you know, they didn't like what was going on. They would just take your wife. They would, take
your property.
And their military would just come in and just push their way. I mean, how many reasons in the
27 reasons in the Declaration of Independence.
The 27 reasons why we wanted to break away from the tyrannical government, right?
Yeah. It wasn't just about taxation without representation. It's the only thing you hear about in school. But they laid this out, and we've talked about this before, that it was completely unanimous. I mean, every state, they signed their name, and they knew they were going to pledge their lives, their honor, and their fortunes. If this didn't go well, they were going to lose their life. It's just an amazing thing.
This is a huge deal. I want to encourage you. You know, this is part of the answer prayer. We got to pray for this whole nomination process.
Yes.
And don't believe the character assassination. They go straight after the person's character. They're just lies.
Their life.
And the thing you got to understand, they're just. But if the issues were significant enough, they would just say the issues. They would say they feel this way, this is wrong, this is wrong. Since nothing's wrong, they just start making things up, and they have a word for that now. They have a new verb for it. It's called Bork. They did it in the Bork hearings when President Reagan brought in a particular Bork, Judge Bork, and then that's when he got Kennedy, I think, after that, because they just attacked this quality man, his reputation, yeah, and people just believe it.
Yeah.
They just don't believe every. You know, there's one thing we do at you know VFN TV and VFNKB. We source what we're talking about. So everything we're saying, we do our best to go to the torch. Go to VFN TV, VFNKB.com. Go to the torch there, and everything we talk about, we have an article on it. We have all the sources where we got it from. So if it's wrong, it's not wrong. But you can find out where it was wrong. But you actually can speak with you know knowledge about what you're talking about, and they don't source it anymore a lot of times. So pray. Begin to pray. Don't believe when you hear people start saying, "You know, I was watching, you know, whatever television, and they said this." I said, "Well, you know, can he do the job? And this is who he is as a father. This is who he is as a husband. These are people that vouched for him, you know. And there's never been a president, according to what Judge Kavanaugh said, that put this much energy and effort out to making sure that it was the right kind of Supreme Court that believed in the Constitution, you know, a text focus. They believe in the text of the Constitution. So important.
Originalists,
and so keep them in your prayers. Pray. Listen, God hears your prayers. I mean, this is happening because potentially you pray, but I know people have prayed. So begin just to continue to pray. Cover all this in prayer, and realize, you know, we get back from this break, we're going to take a look at, you know, how a bill actually becomes a law. We're going to look at that and understand it has nothing to do with the Supreme Court. Join us after the break.
We'll be right back.
Welcome to Minute with Maxwell. The word today is communication. Irene Black from Kayeta, Arizona, who's a social worker, wanted me to talk about it. Well, Irene, you're talking about something I love, and that is to communicate. The thing I want you to understand about communication today is that it's not a one-way street. Communication is not me talking and you listening. It's not me speaking, telling, directing, pointing. It's us engaged in a two-way conversation. You're talking, I'm talking, I'm listening, you're listening. We're kind of taking what I call a verbal journey, a visual journey, an emotional journey together. So often in communication, we leave someone. I see it happen all the time. Somebody starts talking, the other person's gone. Whenever that happens, Irene, just stop the communication and understand you got to connect, and then you communicate. If I communicate and don't connect, I will always lose the audience. But if I connect with them first, then as we communicate, and communication is not me, it's we, then it will be effective.
Taking VFN Radio and VFN TV anywhere you want to go, Wi-Fi or no-fi. Why? Because of the podcast. We have podcasting available for you right now. What happens with podcasts? You go to VFNTV.com, click on the podcast, choose the source of podcast that you want to receive it in based on your particular device, computer or mobile device, and realize it just automatically will do what you set it up to do. It will download it while you're having lunch. It'll download it while you're at work. And then when you're driving anywhere in the world, flying anywhere in the world, even when you're on an airline, they say turn off all these mobile phones. You still can actually listen to what's already on your playlist, which would be downloaded programs and highlights from VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast today.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Wow, this is so powerful. So think about it. This is how a bill becomes a law. Notice it has nothing to do with the Supreme Court. Take a look.
Woo, you sure got to climb a lot of steps to get to this Capitol building here in Washington. Well, I wonder who that sad little scrap of paper is.
I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. and I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. Well, it's a long, long journey to the capital city. It's a long, long wait while I'm sitting in committee. But I know I'll be a law someday. At least I hope and pray that I will. But today I am still just a bill.
Gee, Bill, you certainly have a lot of patience and courage.
Well, I got this far. When I started, I wasn't even a bill. I was just an idea. Some folks back home decided they wanted a law passed, so they called their local congressman, and he said, "You're right, there ought to be a law." Then he sat down and wrote me out and introduced me to Congress, and I became a bill. And I'll remain a bill until they decide to make me a law. I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I got as far as Capitol Hill. Well, now I'm stuck in committee, and I'll sit here and wait while a few key congressmen discuss and debate whether they should let me be a law. I hope and pray that they will, but today I am still just a bill.
Listen to those congressmen arguing. Is all that discussion and debate about you?
Yeah, I'm one of the lucky ones. Most bills never even get this far. I hope they decide to report on me favorably, otherwise I may die.
Die?
Yeah, die in committee. Oh, but it looks like I'm going to live. Now I go to the House of Representatives and they vote on me.
If they vote yes, what happens?
Then I go to the Senate and the whole thing starts all over again.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And if they vote for me on Capitol Hill, well, then I'm off to the White House where I'll wait in a line with a lot of other bills for the president to sign. And if he signs me, then I'll be a law. I hope and pray that he will. But today I am still just a bill.
You mean even if the whole Congress says you should be a law, the president can still say no?
Yes, that's called a veto. If the president vetoes me, I have to go back to Congress and they vote on me again, and by that time you're so old.
By that time, it's very unlikely that you become a law. It's not easy to become a law, is it?
No, but how I hope and pray that I will. But today I am still just a bill.
He signed your bill. Now you're a law.
Oh, yes.
Well, you think about that. That's kind of funny, but it's true. But notice one thing that was not mentioned. The Supreme Court was never mentioned how a bill becomes a law. That's how our system works. That's why it's so important for somebody to know that, who understands the Constitution. That's why Judge Brett Kavanaugh is somebody that we need to be able to honor. Say, this is the kind of people that we need on the Supreme Court, because they don't make laws. Congress makes law. I want to pray with you right now. Father God, we thank you for our this nominee. We just pray for his nomination. Father God, that we go through. Pray for our whole Supreme Court, that we'd get back to your order again for this nation. Pray a blessing over our audience, God, and we just speak out by faith. Even now, Father God, we declare, dear God, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening in Jesus' name. God bless. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.